We're going to put those two teams head to head. Who is the better team?
Bills.
The Bills. Ooh, yeah. I don't know. This anti-Ravens stance that you're
it's
taking.
It's not anti-Ravens. It's pro-history. Like, I don't know. Okay, how many years in a row does a team need to play its worst game of the year and have its best player play his worst game of the year in the biggest spot before we care about it?
All right, many times in Nick Wright arguing about the Ravens and the Bills.
And arguing about whether Lamar Jackson's game against the Bills in the playoffs was a good game.
He had two mistakes and otherwise played a really good game. But he had two mistakes.
And that was the hole they were in.
Yeah, Mark Andrews had two mistakes too.
True.
Two big ones and a fumble
and
a drop.
But he gets eviscerated for it.
Well, he did not have a good game otherwise.
Right.
Lamar,
like, I go back and forth on that because I do think Lamar had a good game, but I think Lamar had a good game because he was digging himself out of the hole that he put them in.
Possibly. He also did not have Zay Flowers.
That's true.
For what it's worth.
That's the best excuse he's got, I think, is his number one receiver was not on the field at all. But that pick that he threw to Taylor Rapp, I saw a video of all of his interceptions from last year. None of them were his fault. None of them. Like, they were perfect passes to a teammate that bounced off their hands and into a defender's. That Rapp interception, though, was definitely not that. That was right to him.
So, quick story. Bobby Babich is going to join us in about 5 minutes, so we can kind of screw around for a few minutes here.
Is this your old story?
A little bit. Malik Nabers has been dealing with a nagging toe injury.
Yep.
It's lingered since his LSU days.
Yep.
He says, quote, "It's like a mosquito that won't go away. I'm trying to shoo it away."
Okay.
Yeah. So he's got a toe injury. He says it's like a mosquito. I am officially at the age where when I go outside at night now in the evenings,
yep,
I will wear long sleeves and long pants even if it's 95 degrees.
What?
Yeah.
Because of this? Because of mosquito bites?
Yeah,
because
I can't get eaten up anymore.
Just put bug spray on.
Doesn't work.
What do you mean doesn't work?
I mean, bug spray does not work.
I mean,
work.
It might not be 100%, but it definitely works.
Is the biggest lie ever. It does not work.
You're claiming the entire bug spray industry
yes.
is a falsehood.
I'm saying to you that I am immune to bug spray. Doesn't work.
Do you ever, like, the tiki torches or the what are the
scams?
Candles?
Scams. Might as well be all these lessons that you're trying to get sold for golf on Instagram, all these training tools. Bug spray. Lie. It's a lie.
I don't know about
You know
this.
What works? Pants. Pants works.
The bugs can just get under the pants, though.
No, they can't.
Sure, they can.
No.
They'd be smart enough to fly, you know, in the right area, but.
Two comments in the chat back to back. Bug spray works, and bug spray is totally fake. No, that's right. Doesn't work.
Josh, put a poll up. Is bug spray fake?
Not real. Doesn't work.
I have a hot take. I kind of like the smell of bug spray also.
You know what? I had that thought when the sunscreen's getting sprayed around here and thought, like, what?
Yeah, yeah. What? But is that just because it reminds you of the outdoors?
Great question.
You know,
great question.
I think of when I smell bug spray, I'm thinking, oh, I'm at a campfire. I'm at a bonfire.
Try to describe what sunscreen smells like without saying sunscreen. What does it smell like? What is the spray? What does it smell like?
It's right, without saying sunscreen?
It's not a scent. It's just...
No, I think it is. It's its own scent.
It's its own scent.
It's its own scent, yes. I don't know what else. I mean, there are probably scented sunscreens, right?
Yeah.
In fact, there definitely are, I'm sure. But even those ones, don't they still smell like sunscreen? I couldn't describe it for you without calling it sunscreen. The same thing, I think I would say the same thing about bug spray. Bug spray has a distinctive odor that I wouldn't describe as anything else. Like, maybe there it's more, like, citrusy, but I think bug spray works. It works fine. I think it works 80%. I think it works 80%. It's, like, 80% effective, and you're taking that to mean it's 0%.
All right.
But I'm not sure.
Bills defensive coordinator Bobby Babich about to join us here. See if he wants any piece of our riveting conversation. When we're waiting for you
is
guys to come
spray
over,
fake?
We get a few minutes. Does bug spray work? It doesn't work for me.
I don't get affected by bugs.
Oh, look at this. Natural.
He doesn't even need it.
Only in the state of Minnesota. Okay. When we go to Minnesota Lake Country is where I get affected by bugs.
Very
but
good.
I will say this is – I have a left side headset, so this is very different.
Oh, yeah.
It's on the right
you
side.
Can flip it over.
I got to deal with adversity.
Okay. Adversity. So, I like it. Yeah. I like it. Yeah. Bills defensive coordinator Bobby Babich with us. Jeremy and Joe, thanks for taking some time to sit down. I wanted to start talking with you about Tre'Davious White because you've been here pretty much since he's been here.
That's right.
And you've seen Trey from rookie to all pro to battling the injuries, and now he's back out there. And what's it like to see him like this in this scenario?
You know, I think I'll start on a personal level. In my press conference the other day, I said it. I mean, you know, seeing him grow from a rookie to become an all-pro, go through two injuries, and the heartbreak that it was, you know, in the end, this is a business. You know, that's the toughest thing about playing and coaching in this league. You build relationships. You're around each other all the time. You care about their families and all those type of things. And, it's just from a personal side, it's tremendous to see him back out there and to see him, you know, as close to Trey White as we all know he could possibly be with the stuff he's gone through. And then, he's doing some Trey White things right now. You know, he needs to continue. We'll see how it goes. I mean, we're five practices in. So we'll just see how it goes. Like I said, we're not going to ride the roller coaster of things, but right now he's doing a nice job. And, we need him to continue to bring that leadership and be a tone setter.
How different has he been this offseason because he's had an offseason? How many of those past years?
Yeah.
It's been, what, four or five years?
Yeah, I said it because it was interesting. We were walking down with one of the strength coaches, and there's a hill over here on the other side of this field house. And I guess off his first rehab, he used to be backpedaling and sprinting up this hill to rehab the ACL. You know, and then he comes back from that, and it was a tough uphill climb. And then he kind of gotten, if you remember, the year he tore his Achilles, what year was that? That was
23.
Yeah, 23. I've been here 9, so they all mix up. But, you know, it was 23, and then he kind of gets in that rhythm, and bang, his Achilles goes, and you're like, God bless, man.
Yeah, yeah.
And, so then he didn't have that offseason. So, you know, it's good to see. I said it before that he's had an offseason. He came up to me in practice, and I'm like, hey, bud, how's it, you know, how you feeling? He said, it feels good to have legs. This is finally I've had an offseason, you know. So, true professional, can't say enough about him. Like I said, he deserves to be talked about for everything he's done for this organization and this community, along with a lot of other guys.
You've got competition amongst teammates. How valuable is Trey White going to be for Max Hairston as a rookie coming in this
league? I don't think you can put a value on it. You know, I don't think you could put a value on it because, you know, it's funny when Max got here, he's like, Trey White is a corner I used to watch back when he was younger, you know. So I know Trey was brought up by certain guys. You guys probably won't even remember, but I think Trey would say that there was a dude here that used to play for the Chargers our first year named Sharice Wright. And Sharice Wright, I know, really helped Tre'Davious his rookie year. So, you know, it's a pay it forward thing, you know. And Tre'Davious knows where he's at in his career. He knows that not only is his job to go out and play damn good football, excuse my language, but it's also to pour into the young guys and the next generation. So, like he says, when he's home watching it, he can watch Max Hairston down the road here when his time's, you know, said and done.
Do you feel like he's also potentially going to be one of the fan favorites on Hard Knocks, Trey White?
I don't know about Hard Knocks, but I know here in Western New York he gets as loud a roar when he walks out of that tunnel as anybody.
Yeah. How about Hairston? What have you seen from him so far in his time with the Bills?
Yeah, I think we all know he's super talented. I said at my press conference, I hate to keep coming back to that, but, you know, I'm a man of habit. So, really, he had a pretty dang good first day. Second day is a little rocky. You know, and now as we go through it, there's a lot we're throwing at these guys. Not only technique and fundamentals, but then you talk about scheme, formation awareness, situation, all those type of things. So we're not going to ride the roller coaster. Super talented, great dude, learning to be a pro, learning what that takes. And he certainly got a great room to learn from, and we'll see where that goes.
A lot of the scouting reports on him were, you know, ball skills. He's aggressive. And do you have to kind of teach him how to walk the line about when to do that in your system versus when to let his ability kind of take over?
Yeah, I think and when you say aggressive, are you saying physical?
Just
or
like
saying,
jumping, looking for the ball, trying to be a ball hog.
Okay,
that's a lot of what they said about him coming out.
I mean, you know, there's a certain training process we go through, and it's funny, you know, you think about the physical aspect of training, but there's also, you got to train your eyes, you know. So we're just going to make sure his eyes are trained. We're not going to take his instincts or football intellect away from him, but we're going to make sure his eyes are in the right spot.
Is that one thing, too, you mentioned, like, the physical part, because he is smaller and now the pads are on,
right?
How much of an adjustment do you feel like that could be for him, is learning how to be successful in the league, despite the fact he might be giving up a little bit of size?
I think if you ask any of those guys that have, you know, I don't want to say, you know, for lack of a better word, become benchmark players on our defense, I think that adjustment, that physicality adjustment, no matter how big, no matter your size, I mean, shoot, Taron Johnson's not the biggest guy in the world, but there's always an adjustment. And, you know, the quicker you can adjust to that and the more urgency we can create to that adjustment as coaches and bring awareness to that, I think the better off we're going to be.
Bills defensive coordinator Bobby Babich with us. The rest of the secondary, let's talk a little bit more. Cole Bishop,
yeah.
Year two for him. He missed a lot of this part of last
yes.
year. So, coming along well?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're seeing a different Cole. You know, we're seeing a different Cole. Here's a guy that didn't have training camp practices. You know, he gets thrown in the mix multiple times during the season and did a good job, you know. But we're looking for him to do an even better job, as we are every one of our players, you know. And it's all about growth and getting better. And as we know, and he's certainly showing signs of that, I thought he had a pretty dang good day yesterday. He showed up. He was physical. We'd like to see him come away with that ball that was thrown deep. It ended up being a PBU collision there, but we need to come away with that ball, and that's the point there is, you know, as we talk about, the best thing we can do is get the ball back to 17 as fast as we possibly can.
Bobby Babich with us. How about at linebacker? So Matt Milano, kind of like, actually with Trey White, like getting a full off season
yeah.
for him, and how important that could be, him being at this age, but, I mean, out there on the field, does it just look like the same old Matt Milano?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I coached him for 2 years, been around him since he's been here. It's interesting. Me and Matt have been here the same number of years. But, you know, like I always say, like, I don't want to put expectations on players, but, it's, you know, Matt Milano is Matt Milano. We all know what a healthy Matt Milano looks like, a healthy, in-rhythm Matt Milano. And by rhythm, that just means getting in the flow of the game. And, you know, last year was very tumultuous for him. We thought we were going to get him back. And then he comes back. We take care of him. He misses time. And then nothing that he could have done about it, but it was just an unfortunate deal. So it's the same thing with Tre'Davious White. I think that's a very similar deal, to where as long as we can keep him healthy and keep him on the field, we can get Matt into the best position to be the Matt Milano we all know and love, and, you know, to help us, you know, reach our ultimate goals.
This offseason for the defense was about two things. The first was locking in pieces for long term. That's Christian Benford, Greg sure. Rousseau, Terrell Bernard. How was it for you seeing those deals get done, knowing, like, all right, I got cornerstone pieces coming back?
Yeah, you know, I think it's interesting. Like, you look at the professional level of it, and you're like, okay, you do the evaluation, and you're like, you know, CB, okay, good. We've got a corner that we all love and we view very highly. Bang, we got Terrell Bernard in the middle of our defense, you know, the quarterback of our defense. And then you talk about Greg, who I think really came on last year and affected the passer in a great way. And not only the passer, he affected the run game. So, you know, and he's got room for growth. So, at the professional level, you're like, okay, you feel great about that. But then at the personal level, it's, you know, it goes a little deeper than that, you know, and you got to be able to separate that. But, I mean, Christian Benford is – I don't think people understand, man. He is – he's like when your kids don't listen, he's the exact opposite. Like, everything you tell him to do, he's going to do, and you don't have to tell him twice. His mindset, he's physical, he can cover, like, everything you want, he checks the boxes. And then you look at TB. I have a close relationship with TB, obviously, as a linebacker's coach, and to see his development and where he's come to be the leader of this defense, and even if you go back before he's named the starter, he missed the whole preseason, you know, but we felt good about where he was at, naming him that, and, you know, that saying that, okay, that development and that, you know, and I'm using those two as an example, but that progression of those guys landed where we felt like it was supposed to land.
With Benford, it seems like there's a lot of talk that he's not getting enough attention. He might not need it, but there's that ESPN piece about the top 10 at every position, and they named NFL executive scouts, coaches named 29 corners, and Benford's name didn't come up. Like, it's kind of, for some reason, I don't know, people aren't paying attention? They're not noticing?
Yeah, we paid attention.
Yeah, for sure.
We noticed. So that's all that matters. We know what we have in Christian Benford. And all you got to do is watch the tape.
Yeah. How about some of the newcomers? Joey Bosa, how are things looking for him?
Great, great. We have a good plan going with Joey. I've said it before. Our whole goal is to make sure he's available. We're working through that close with Joey, you know. But he's been a welcome addition. I think he needed a breath of fresh air, you know. And we know what Joey Bosa has done in this league, and we need to get him to be in the Joey Bosa that everybody recognizes and deals with, and a lot of that is availability.
This is one of those spots where you watch him play for another team. You see the scouting department you're talking about in the offseason, and you think you're just like, at the peak of his powers, like, what you're getting here is legit.
Yeah, I mean, you go back to it, I'll never forget. You know, I listen to all kinds of things, especially press conferences. I had mentioned the other day that, you know, I just listen to the way people do press conferences, try to make myself better, right? So I'll never forget, I was listening to a mic'd up. I don't know, maybe you guys remember what year this was, but they came to Buffalo. The Chargers came to Buffalo. Mm-hmm. And he had a very good game against the Buffalo Bills. And he yelled, I'm mic'd up. He's running off the field after a sack or TFL, and he's yelling, I'm an effing beast, you know. So it's like, you know, it's, you know, I can remember that because of the impact he can have on games and those type of things, and, you know, that intensity and those type of things. So, you know, we're going to try our best. I'm not putting expectations on players, but we're going to put them in the best position possible, and certainly he's working his tail off to get there.
That might have been 2018. That might have been, Josh's rookie year. So you mentioned managing him, and then a couple of guys that obviously will be serving suspensions early in the year. How important is it to fast track's the right word, but a couple of your early draft picks on the defensive line and playing, you know, early on in the season when those guys will be unavailable?
Yeah, I think we took those guys where we took them for a reason, and there's nothing like competition, you know, to bring the best out in everybody, and that's not only for young guys, that's for veterans too. And you know, the infusion of youth is good, right? The infusion of youth is good, you know, but there's definitely going to be youth on this defense. There's definitely going to be some youth on this defense. And what role, we're not 100% sure, but we're doing everything we can to make sure they're ready and rocking and rolling, you know, to help bring value to what we're trying to get to. That's the whole talk to our defense. Like, their job is to bring value to the point where, hey, I'm doing things to help the Bills potentially win the Super Bowl. And that's what their job is. So how much value are you gonna bring, right? And so, you know, that's the message to those guys, and we'll take it along. We'll do our evaluations.
Going back to last year, you know, great in turnovers, the big problems.
Takeaways.
Thank you. Yeah. Turning the ball over your way. Well, both sides of the ball, great in turnovers, great in takeaways. I saw you wearing a hat that said take it away.
Yeah.
The defense needs hats, right? The offense is going to have hats. You're going to need hats. So.
And I want to go on record. Uh-huh. Can't quote me. I think we had hats first.
We
had hats first last year.
That's important.
Okay.
We had the SFP hats.
Yeah, that I wanted to ask you about that, because that is one of those stats that you commonly will hear. Well, that regresses. That's almost an impossible thing to maintain year to year.
Yeah.
But I think every year that you've been here, at least, and Sean, the defense has been top 10 in takeaways, and a lot of years it's number one or number two. So I don't know, like, do you agree that that is a hard thing to maintain, and you guys have just been able to be able to do
that? Yeah, I think it's a philosophical thing. You know, I've been around the league. I've coached at three organizations, you know, and you sit back when you're an assistant and you kind of try to look at the way you do things and all that. And, you know, I'll give credit where credit is due. Sean McDermott and Leslie Frazier doing an unbelievable job, going back to when Les was here, and it was pretty impressive how – every day, we that's what we talk about. Every single day. And we show where there's meat left on the bone, where we can still take it away. And that's hard to do, right? You've got so much to accomplish, and you can lose things that you want to value all the time if you get too spread thin. So we make sure we always come back to that. It's part of you get what you emphasize. We drill it. We drill it constantly. We're constantly talking about it. You know, and I think the other thing is we talk about you got to have the fever, you got to have the disease of the ball. Like, it's something to think about. It starts with your brain before you even think about taking it away, to where you're constantly thinking about the ball, you know. And we're encouraging guys to get diagnosed with that disease or that fever of I'm constantly thinking about the ball. Christian Bedford, if you know, fans are here, you guys are here watching practice. You watch him, all he's thinking about is the ball, even in the run game, you know, and we're going to secure tackles. We're going to do all those type of things. But that's, I guess, you get what you emphasize, and then you got to have players that, that can take it away.
Bills defensive coordinator Bobby Babich, one last one for me. Takeaways, keep them where they are. Third down defense, one of the issues, of course, to address.
Absolutely.
Is it as simple as just saying that, or do you kind of branch off, this is why we had problems?
Yeah, I think you look, you not only look schematically, you look how your rush and coverage is working together. You address, are we putting our guys in the best situations? What was good for us? You know, what way is the NFL trending? What teams are you playing? Making sure your game plan is good. So there's a lot that goes into it, but absolutely we weren't good enough on third down last year. Our players know that, and we know, you just talked about takeaways, we know the best thing for the Buffalo Bills is to get Josh Allen back out on the field as fast as you possibly can. And what's the way to do that? It's get off the field on third down when you talk about three and outs and taking the ball away. It's as simple as that. Like, let's keep it elementary, right? So, you know, that's been a big emphasis of ours. Certainly we have to get better there. Our players know it. We address it every time we get to third down situations, you know, and they are very intentional about that.
Very good. Bills defensive coordinator Bobby Babich, thanks for the time. Best of luck this season.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
All right. We'll step aside here from St. John Fisher. Return in a moment. It's training camp coverage here on WGR.
Buffalo is the team of Toronto. You know, the team is so heavily supported out there. Like, the amount of weekends and times I saw guys taking buses out there, going right to jump on tables and be a part of all the action, like, you can't miss it. It's incredibly popular in Toronto. And so I knew of the team from day one, as soon as I landed, and I got to support the team and kind of see a different aspect of the fan base.
All right, that is Josie Altidore, who was on with One Bills Live. The Bills minority owners. It's Jeremy and Joe live from St. John Fisher. The sun has arrived, as it does normally this time of day.
Yep.
We like
not
to,
yet for me.
We like to wash our guests, bathe them in a nice bright sunlight. That's yeah. Bobby Babich and
Joe Brady yesterday.
Joe Brady yesterday,
the sun
Sean McDermott.
Bit.
You know, maybe we should slide a little bit. Oh, whatever. We'll figure it out. We'll talk ourselves in this corner a little more tomorrow so we can protect the guests from the sun.
Yeah. So the FTN Fantasy Aaron Schatz Football Almanac is out.
Yep.
It's not really a fantasy almanac. I mean, there's fantasy stuff in it. It's just the company. So Aaron Schatz Almanac, it is out. And just saw highest chances to win the Super Bowl, according to DVOA projections.
Okay.
Number one, Baltimore, 19%.
All right. Like it.
Number two, the Bills. At 14.7%.
Okay. I would like to just go on record saying I have no problem with someone ranking the Ravens ahead of the Bills. Not to say that I would 100% do it. I think it's totally fine.
5% difference. I'm not going to get upset over that, but whatever. Bills at 14.7. Lions in third at 12.1.
Okay.
Favorite in the NFC by DVOA.
I wonder about just replacing Ben Johnson. You know, it works sometimes for some.
And Aaron Glenn.
Look, both coordinators, yep.
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 Here's where I would start. This is where I want to ask Aaron, how did this happen? Or I can just, you know, read the almanac, which I might do. The Commanders are next.
Love it. Into it.
8.9%. Then the 49ers. Then the Chiefs, by the way. The Chiefs are way down at 6 at 8.1. And then the Eagles are 7th at 4.4. I have not heard much in the way of Eagles are not only not the NFC favorite, they would be 4th in the NFC behind a team in their own division that is very good, but I don't hear many people picking Washington to win the NFC East or to win the NFC. Why? That is not something I've seen a lot this offseason, the Eagles being that low. I've always seen them as the favorites or very close behind that. And in this 7th, 4%, I mean, half the odds of what the Commanders are. And that could be schedule, maybe, right? That could be schedule-related. Philadelphia playing a first-place schedule. Washington not doing that. How much growth they might project in Daniels from one year to the next. But even the Niners being above the Eagles. Everyone expects the Niners to take a step back. But not DVOA, apparently.
I still don't know what's going to happen with Ayuk. He's not really practicing, right? He's not ready?
No, not really. Okay. And Ricky Pearsall can't stay healthy.
Okay.
So, and they traded Debo. So, and Juwan Jennings wants a new contract.
Yep.
He's not holding out. But, yeah, receivers and Flux, they have Kittle, though. So,
one very quick follow-up for you on the Ravens-Bills playoff game. I mentioned to you that Lamar, because you said that Mina Kimes and Nick Wright were debating whether or not Lamar had a good game.
Yeah, they got a little of a friendly fight yesterday about whether Lamar had a good game.
Lamar was 18 of 25, 254, two touchdowns, a pick, and a fumble.
Okay.
10 yards per attempt, okay. Two touchdowns, a pick, and a fumble, without Zay Flowers.
Yep.
And someone wrote to me and said, to be fair, Josh Allen didn't have Zay Flowers either, which is correct. He didn't have Zay Flowers. Do you remember Allen's stat line from that game?
Ooh, I'm going to guess 190 yards, two touchdowns, and 40 yards running. That's my guess.
Okay. That's a guess.
Pure memory.
190 yards, a touchdown, and what?
I said 190 yards, two touchdowns, and 40 yards rushing.
Okay. Josh Allen in that game. The internet slowed down a little bit here. Let me get to it. I had his passing line, but I wanted to get to his rushing line as well, just because, you know, you brought up the rushing line. Passing, he was 16 of 22 for 127.
Woo! That's a game manager type game there.
Sure is. It's kind of funny.
But that isn't that in essence why the Bills won the game in parts? I know Andrews, and there are a lot of other reasons, but
that's right.
Lamar made mistakes. Josh didn't.
Oh, I agree.
Like, if it's flipped, doesn't it look the same? Let me ask this question. Josh turns the ball over twice in the first game. Lamar mm-hmm. doesn't. What do the stats look like? At the end of it, I bet Josh has a really nice game. Or he could have. He could have. He did not in the first meeting, right, in the regular season. So maybe I shouldn't just assume that. But Josh has two turnovers in the first half. What do Lamar's stats look like? Lamar probably is a pretty pedestrian game. Why? Because they're running the ball. Because they're trying to bleed the clock. They have a big lead. They're not pressing with him. So Lamar might have had a pedestrian game, and Josh might have been putting up numbers.
What do you want to use? Flipped. Do you want to use QBR?
Sure, give me QBR.
Like QBR.
I like QBR.
Okay, QBR. I feel like QBR would tell you who had the better game.
Yeah.
Okay. Lamar 85, Josh 71.
Okay.
Lamar threw for two. Josh ran for two. They were two short touchdowns. He ran 10 times. I'm not doing anything where I'm trying to say, like, Josh had a bad game. What I'm trying to say
is – No, because I think most would tell you – coaches – what would the Bills tell you after that game? Would they tell you they would take Josh's game over Lamar's game? Because I think they would probably tell that – wouldn't the Ravens say the same thing? In a private moment, not in public. Would the Ravens in an honest moment say, yeah, we would have rather had that game from Josh than the game we got from Lamar?
Well, it's impossible because if you're asking them that to win, they would take whatever it takes to win. But if let me ask you this.
But it's hard to win when you have those mistakes.
Fine. Here's what it is. You can have one of two. You can have Allen getting 254 and two touchdowns.
Yep.
And running for 39.
Yep.
And turning it over twice.
Yep.
Or you can have him passing for 127. No turnovers.
Uh-huh.
In the final game of the season, this coming year, which stat line would you take? Like, I'm the one to tell you that I think turnovers are often overrated.
Yep.
The fumble, like, Lamar's fumble was kind of a freakish mistake mix-up.
Maybe.
And it cost them 40 yards. So
he was pretty careless on that play.
He ducked out of the way of Hamlin, right, and put the ball on the ground.
But that was the thing. He didn't see Hamlin coming. He was late to getting out of the way of Hamlin. Hamlin made contact. That's what threw him off balance, and he had dropped the football.
Sure.
So I know I'm going a long way to give Hamlin credit.
What I'm really trying to get to here is, does the defense only get credit if they get a win without turnovers? Because they got three turnovers. And the number of people that will say to you, when's the last time McDermott won him a playoff game? Is that not one? Or Bobby Babbage sitting right here?
Yeah.
We don't get to count that one because we don't get to count it. Why? Because the Bills put 27 on the board.
And how the game ended. Like, it doesn't
– You're right.
If the Bills – sack Lamar to win the football game, or if the pick comes at the end,
yeah,
that feels a lot different than Mark Andrews drop the football.
Should it?
For giving the defense credit?
Yeah.
It's a good question.
What was Derrick Henry's stat line that day? 16 for 84.
Well, that was the thing, right? They picked. They had their pick of the litter. And that's where, like, I would want to give them credit. It seems like – I don't even think it was just circumstance. It did seem like their strategy in that game was – we are going to sell out to stop Derrick Henry.
Which is just what the Chiefs did against the Eagles for Saquon in the Super Bowl, and they got roasted.
We're going to let Lamar pick us apart, but
he's going to make mistakes.
We're going to get a couple mistakes on him, and that's going to be enough.
Yeah.
I don't know about how far I want to go with they let Lamar pick them apart.
No.
Because that is not giving Lamar any credit for doing what he did, and I do think it was harder than I'm making it sound, but – I don't know. I feel like that was the Bills' game plan going in, and I think it happened exactly how they might have viewed it, except for Andrews dropping the football.
803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. Dalton Kincaid taking the field. He missed a day of practice. He is back out there walking out with Matt Milano right now. So the knee soreness, not a full long-term kind of thing. He's back.
By the way, Josh in that Ravens game running the ball, 10 carries, 20 yards.
Yeah.
And 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, like Josh Hill. If I were to tell you for the rest of the time,
Lamar's 6-39.
Do you ever want Josh Allen to have 142 total yards in a playoff game?
No, definitely not.
You win a game with Josh Allen gets 142 total yards, and yet your defense gets no credit for that?
Well, because very few would believe you'd win that game because you could.
You could.
You could win that game. What's likely the score? You won that game. That's Patriots-Rams Super Bowl, isn't it?
Do you ever?
You won 13-3.
Isn't it almost impossible to envision the Bills winning a playoff game like 17-13? It's almost impossible.
They've done it once. Baltimore, the pick six game.
Yeah.
And that's really the only one.
4 years ago? Right. That's it. And that's before. Yeah, yeah. It feels like I'm sure it will happen again, but I never see them giving up or scoring, rather, less than 20.
And you don't see them defensively smothering a team like that, like a top team. They've done it they did to Bo Nix, I guess.
Yeah, that's right. Gave a touchdown the first drive, and then that was it.
Yeah.
All right. Extendo Sports coming up, 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550, if you want to chime in. And the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show will, of course, take over as training camp's practice number 6 is set to get started shortly here on WGR.
Breaking sports news airs first here, guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550, 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
Cameras are down this because we're frying in the sun. It's hot here.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think so.
I was going to put my sunglasses on.
So, sorry, the stream is down. We're on Extendo Sports. So, I'll try to get back up fast. Something happened to me that has never happened to me in 20-plus years of covering Bills training camp.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I'll click the video link so I can get this on the feed and try to tell the story on the YouTube feed as well for everybody. So, there we go. Oh, I should be back up. Walking around our little area here. We got SiriusXM's over there. One Bills Live getting set up. Rochester guys are over there. You know, it's busy around here. And I'm walking. There's a lot of cords, Joe. A lot of cords. And I accidentally stepped on a yellow cord over there.
Uh-huh.
And I unplugged something.
Uh-oh.
And you're thinking like, uh-oh.
That's very bad.
One of these broadcasts? Like, is it gone? Because, no. I plugged the cord back in. And then I followed the cord to see like, well, what was it? Where did I go?
Uh-huh.
Or where did it go? I just accidentally unplugged the jugs machine.
Oh, wow.
Luckily, no one was using it.
I was going to say, you imagine got a receiver that over there like, trying to do the jugs machine.
Receivers doing the thing where they pretend they're on their arms and then catch the ball. Pretend they're on their arms, they catch the ball. Pretend they're on their arms and they go,
this guy.
This machine broke.
This guy, he hates all the Bills receivers.
What happened to this machine?
Doesn't want him to get better.
Stopped working. Oh, yeah, there's the next step. Yeah. Oh, yeah, but I just stepped on a cord and unplugged the jugs machine. It's back up and running. I don't know if it needs to reset at the source, but I don't know. I'll let somebody know.
There's a thing that's being said a couple of times about a certain story in sports. It's annoyed me. You see the new gambling investigation into baseball?
I did.
A couple of pitchers that they think have been betting on the first pitch. It's like the first pitch props. What will the first pitch be?
Yeah.
And there might be betting on that. There's the Malik Beasley thing in the NBA. The one thing that is said a lot that I do not agree with is whenever it is said, like, oh, this is because you legalized gambling and you opened up Pandora's box and now everybody's going to start. I think the reason, the only reason you are finding out about these things is because they are now in bed with these apps and they have these partnerships with FanDuel and DraftKings. How are they finding out? These things probably happened before.
There's a paper trail.
But it was, right, now there's a paper trail. Now you have league partners that will help you catch the people that are doing this.
Yeah.
It probably happened all the time in the 80s and the 90s
maybe,
and the 2000s.
Maybe. I mean,
and you never would have been caught.
I think people would say just merely the accessibility of it.
It's easier to
do it
now. Is going
to gateway people into, you know.
That's true. But I feel like the policing of it, I mean, they're catching these guys.
Yep. Yep.
Like they are, the one guy they have not investigated yet, though, is the Gary Payton Jr. thing. Did you see that?
No.
He is like, there's a video on NBA Twitter of Gary Payton Jr. like reacting. His team is up like 15, and I think they were favored by 13, and the opponent hits a three-pointer at the buzzer. And he's super upset, like on the sidelines. It's like, okay, that guy looks like he might have had his team to cover.
Yep.
And there's no investigation into him yet, I guess.
We are back in studio tomorrow. So, Josh, we'll see you guys. You missed us. We're tan now. Just being out there, you know.
We are.
We're tan.
Oh, sorry, one last thing. You wanted LeBron to go to the Warriors?
Yeah.
I wanted LeBron to go to the Cavs. You know where the current rumor is?
Something stupid like the Wizards?
The Nuggets.
Yeah.
He's hanging out with Jokic in Serbia and his agent. Love it. LeBron to Denver.
Can't wait to get Jokic's live reaction to signing LeBron like someone,
oh, he won't care.
Like someone just gave him a ticket. Yeah. Right. Thanks for this. We're back tomorrow. Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show coming up next.